You're in tune to KZSU Stanford. It's time for another edition of Raising Sand. Get up, stand up.
Welcome to another edition of Raising Sand Radio. I'm your host, Susan Gallimore, and today it's my great pleasure to bring in a youth group with Bay Peace, which is a relatively new organization, that supports and empowers young people to resist aggressive military recruiting and war. So it's my great pleasure to introduce Phyllis and Derek and Luis and Arwa and Susan, another Susan. So I'm going to ask Luis to describe what Bay Peace does, and they recently had a boot camp tour, that was really the first of its kind in the nation, and it's a great pleasure that I asked Luis to describe this today.
All right, so I'm Luis, and I'm a member of Bay Peace. How I started was Pablo, who's like an organizer from Bay Peace. He went to my school, and he showed a movie. Peter and Sally showed the movie Arlington West, and they were, you know, in that movie they told us how many lives from our troops we have lost, and how many Iraqi lives have been lost also, and that's how I become interested in Bay Peace. So he invited me over, and I just went to the office, and they told me about this boot camp tour that we went to, because it was like an experiment or something like that. Because they had one the year before, but then it was people who were just activists. So this time the tour was based on youth who were activists and youth who were willing to join the military, so that they could see like the other face of the coin. So it was an interesting trip.
So everybody went on this tour?
Yes.
Here. Why did you go on it?
This is
Derek.
I'm Derek. I'm interning with Bay Peace from New York. And I first started working with Bay Peace in the beginning of June. And it was new to me what is like the high school military recruitment and the JROTC in high schools. Although I've graduated from high school in New York, it was never a program that I was introduced to. And when I came on this tour, I was kind of nervous because, you know, I don't know much about the military here. And we were privileged to meet like 12 youths who were interested in joining the military and those who just wanted to see what it's about. And it was like a life-changing experience for the most part of it.
So the tour went from Oakland, California to... What was the route?
Actually from Frisco, because we went to San Francisco, and then we went all the way to Santa Monica the night, right? We were riding the Green Tortoise bus, so it was like a bed. It was like a bus, made a bed or something like that.
It was a sleeping bus,
yeah. And we would travel at night. So we went all the way to Santa Monica, and then... Actually, watch the movie Arlington West again. We show the people the movie.
So, Arwa, why did you go on the tour?
Well, this is my internship, Bay Peace, and I come from this program called Soul, and they have put me with Bay Peace. Bay Peace is very interesting to me. Actually, when I was first told about Bay Peace. Considering I am a high school student and I have friends that are planning to join the military, I was really excited for this boot camp tour. I didn't really know. I actually had my doubts that it would work, you know, having youth that feel so strong about the military, and we have youth that are against it, you know, together. It just didn't really make sense to me. But seeing as that we came together and we have, like, we did all this community building, it was just amazing. Like, now I have friends that are thinking about the military, like, even more, but friends that have been exposed to all these things, like all these military bases, and have talked to ex-recruiters and talked to military veterans and stuff like that, being exposed to these things, it's great. And it all came from Bay Peace. And, you know, this is all what Bay Peace does, is, like, give youth an opportunity to go beyond the recruiter. And because the recruiter doesn't really say much about the truth. And for Bay Peace, it's the purpose of the tour was to, you know, go beyond the recruiter and see what the recruiter doesn't really tell you, and be exposed to all these amazing, not amazing, but all these things that military does, and what is really military and stuff like that.
Well, we're going to hear more about that, but I'd like to invite Phyllis also to tell us why she decided to go on this tour.
Hi, so I'm Phyllis, and I'm interning with Bay Peace through the Meta Center in Berkeley. So I first found out about the tour from Susan. She just told me, like, that we would be going for a week to SF and SoCal, just to basically take a group of youth to teach them about what the military is really like. When I found out, I was, like, really interested, because I had never really learned that much about the military, and I didn't really know, like, how much it affected the lives of youth in, like, this area in Oakland. And so I went, and I just learned a lot about how there's a lot of suffering behind the scenes that goes on. Just soldiers who join boot camp can be a really stressful experience, and then when they serve in Iraq, it's also, like, can be really traumatizing, lots of violence. So I think, yeah, that's just really eye-opening experience.
Yeah. Susan, a couple of people have mentioned your name, and I want to be sure that we recognize you as one of the co-founders of Bay Peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's an organization that was layered over another organization that you were involved with before, right?
Yes, this is a new organization that grew out of a program that's been going on in the Bay Area for about 3 years previous. So this is it's both our fourth year and our first year as an independent organization. And our main focus is youth empowerment. We do a lot of work in high schools and community colleges and among community organizations, youth organizations, just to really get youth educating their peers. And so that's, you know, who you see today are youth who are stepping forward and educating their peers about the military and alternatives to the military.
Let's talk about one story that in particular, if you could each think of one story in particular that struck you when you were on this tour, and we can get into the details of what it was like when you first went onto a military base, for example, or what it was like being in the bus with just a group of people that you knew from school, but you'd never hung out with at that level before.
It was...
This is Derek?
Yes. It was a little bit frightening for me, because coming from New York, you know, I'm used to one environment, like, for a long time. And when I came to Bay Peace, it was a different setting, a different slang, a different twang. Everything, you know, was different, you know. And
how long have you been in the Bay Area?
I've been here for, like, a month.
Oh,
like, going
okay.
on my second month. And it was very frightening in a little way. But it was interesting how I learned something about myself later on during a trip. You know, like, I noticed, like, some people were reserved. And I, too, was reserved in a little way, you know, not allowing myself to be open to a lot of people. And I learned, like, I had some personal issues going on. Like, I couldn't talk and be open with myself with a lot of people. And I realized, like, wow, in my growing up, my father, too, was in the army in another country. And he used to deal with things very strictly. And I realized something, like, when veterans were speaking about PTSD, that is something that my father could have had, you know, when he was very paranoid sometimes.
Mm.
And, you know, it impacted us because he never allowed us to trust people and always look out. And when I saw these youths, I saw their faces, like, they didn't... It's like they had other things going on with their lives, and they felt... To me, I saw in their eyes that that's their only resort. So I felt a kind of connection with them, because we had things going on in our lives, and we think that that's the only thing, but we have to, like, pull ourselves out of that thinking.
Yeah.
So one of the most remarkable things I've seen is like one person coming from a hood in San Francisco, and they thought like being in the hood, that's the only thing, you know, I have to like struggle to survive kind of thing. And they thought of joining the military as their only resort. And later on, when we exposed them to like the camps, the campsite, the veterans and whatnot, there was, and the untold stories, what America only shows on CNN and NBC, and what you see on like BBC, like the other side, other viewpoints in the world, it really opened his eyes. Like, wow, this is not being told to him, you know, in his community. This is not being portrayed on the news. So he immediately decided on the second day, this is not for me, you know. He really don't want to go and join the military to kill innocent people and, you know, interfere with lives in different countries. So throughout the trip, in the end, we showed him other opportunities that what it's all about, you know, better alternatives for youth. And we showed him like there are ways to get grants and be plugged into internships and programs that he can find another alternative to get out of the situation that he's in.
Derek, thanks for sharing that with about your father and how difficult it was for you in the beginning. I think that's really important for people to hear, that you can be a little worried about this and still push ahead and get something so good out of it.
A story or something?
Another incident that that really struck you on the tour, that you came home and wanted to tell your friends and family with.
It was when we went to the base. What's the base on San Diego, Pendleton?
Camp Pendleton.
Pendleton. And we
this is the first time you were ever on
the
base.
This is the first time I'm ever in a boot camp. It was
We went to the base. It's not boot? Exactly boot camp. It was more of an advanced training.
So we went into the base, and I didn't expect, I didn't know what we were going to do there, in there. So I was just, I was just like, my mind was blank because I didn't know what we were going to do. And like, what really pissed me off were like, they started talking about the weapons that they had. Like,
the troops in training?
The troops, and not the training, just the weapons. Like, he put us in into a classroom, and we all sit down, and then he started like talking about the weapons that he had, like that they had, like the tanks and the bullets that they carried and stuff like that. And I don't know, I just like Pablo said, like I just felt like if they put us in a Chuck E. Cheese, like if we were some kids and they just put in, and you know how you go to the Chuck E. Cheese and you see like those games that kids can play with. So I think we all felt like, you know, like we were in that situation, because they also
kind of like a show and tell.
Yeah, like they also told us to go out and they show us the tanks. You know, they were like, oh, you can go ahead and ride them and stuff like that. And not ride them, but like you can go ahead and get in them and look at them and you can do whatever you want to them. We're kind of like, I was kind of like, I don't know, pissed off because I didn't expect that, you know? I didn't expect that situation.
So they're really trying hard to get you through.
To get us in, yeah.
They
were trying to get us interested in the weapons they had.
Yeah, and they don't actually say at any point, I bet, that each of these bullets may end up in a person or a person's house.
Yeah, we also had some questions about that, right? But he tried to, like, avoid them. He tried to avoid them questions. Because we had some questions about the wars that have been going on, like the Panama Canal and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he kind of, like, tried to avoid those conversations. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to get to the point that they had the best equipment to kill, you know, just to kill.
Phyllis? So I guess one of the first things that I noticed when I came to the Bay Peace office on the first day was that I looked around the room and there were so many girls, and that just struck me. Like, I was really surprised and I was wondering, hey, I never thought that so many like girls would want to join the military. But then as we began to like talk to them and kind of get to know them, ask them why they wanted to join, I began to see that a lot of them like, they saw the military kind of as a stepping stone to, like, college later on, or, like, a career. Like, I realized that, oh, they had been believing the recruiters when they say, oh, the military will give you really good benefits. They'll give you a lot of money for college, when it's actually not as, they kind of exaggerate a little bit. Yeah, so just reading a lot of their surveys, just seeing that, oh, they have a lot of dreams, like, they want to be, like, an actress, or they want to work in nursing. It was really cool to see that by the end of the tour, a lot of them have decided not to join the military, and they wanted to instead, like, pursue college so that they could more directly pursue, like, what they really want to do. So that was just something that's really rewarding. Mm.
When we're done with Arbo, I want you to think about answering this question. You've learned things about how your country, your nation, your society operates at some level, that we've got a lot of people out there that are talented and young, and they don't have easy access to education. I would like you to think about how you feel about your country, how you feel about patriotism, for example, after this tour, having seen actually people, like you say, promoting weapons.
Yeah.
So let's give Arwa a chance.
Okay, so I think the whole trip just had a huge effect on me. My brother is in the Navy, and he didn't have any options after high school.
Your brother?
Yes, my old. Mm-hmm. So he, just hearing his story when he came back, he's visiting us for 2 weeks, and the fact that he didn't have any options after high school, he just went into straight to the military. He didn't think about college because he was like, money's the problem and stuff like that. That it just, everything was, it really hurt. Touched me, but I really, like, an effect on me that really hurt me and stuff like that was the documentary that Salam, who was a journalist in Iraq, and the film that he showed us, it was caught in the crossfire. Yeah, and it was very interesting. It was a very interesting documentary, and it showed that this is what really happens in Iraq, and this is what's not showing in the media, because media doesn't really show us what's really happening. And it was just very interesting to me. Like, I never really thought of it that way. Just didn't really think that it was actually happening like that. It was a huge thing for me. Like, I liked the whole trip. Like, the whole trip was a good learning experience for me. But that part of the trip just really struck me, seeing that kids are being killed. Just mm-hmm. kids.
So again, this comes around to the question I left you with, and mm-hmm. you're right, Arwa, the media plays a large piece in keeping people from knowing some of these things that you've learned on this trip. So let's open that question up. A lot of things must come up for you around what you've learned and related to this country that's touted as the most democratic in the world, and yet we have trouble getting our young people educations. Has it changed the way you think about your country?
Well, what I have to say, though, is that we had this person from Current TV recording the trip, right? So the first day we got to a hostel in San Francisco, he told me to like interview the students. So I interviewed this one guy, Jose, and I asked him why was he going to join the military, right? And he told me that he was very patriotic. So that was his reason to join the military, because he wanted to serve his country and stuff.
And so it's interesting, though, that a patriot is someone who is initially thought of as to be in the military.
Yeah.
It's not actually necessarily the case.
I really don't think it's not the case to go into the military, because if you really want to do something for your country, you got to do it, like, in your country, you know? Because you know how the military is, like, invading another countries or just taking care of other countries' business.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they should really take care of their own business first. You know, like, just helping the community out.
Yeah.
Work with these organizations, you know, yeah. Nonprofits and all of that.
Well, let's hold that thought, because I think that's really important. And let's go back to the overall impressions of, or reorganization of how you're thinking about your country?
It makes me think to redefine what is patriarchy in terms of having that position of like being recognized by your country. And I realize that most of the veterans from the who have gone through the war after the military are those veterans who have come from communities that most struggled, and they consider themselves patriotic right now. And it's very contradicting. Like, they mention how the military has given them all these benefits, and they graduated from, for example, they graduated from some college for criminal justice, and right now they're in a veteran retirement institute kind of thing, which is swords to plowshares. And it's very contradicting how they say all these things and they consider themselves patriotic, and they say, right now they're suffering from post-traumatic stress, and they're unable to like form relationships with their families and whatnot. And it's interesting how in other communities, like one of the things we had to do is outreach in on the streets and on like in libraries and posting flyers. And it's interesting that in a different community, the JROTC is not even like promoted there, and it depends on the librarian or so to like post these flyers because it's what serves best interest in that community. So it was very, very interesting to see that, like, what is really going on in this country. Like, is it just the military targeting like certain communities that are really going through a struggle and finding that as the only resort, or a community that is probably well off and don't necessarily see that as their option in like attaining like a well-known status or something? So that was interesting to see.
Who would like to tackle that question? Has it changed your view of how you see your country?
This is odd. We're all living in the same world. We're living on Earth, and we're just one country. And the thought of another country invading another country, it's just crazy to me. Just like, okay, you're killing humans, same as you. So after this trip, I just became more aware of how countries target other countries, and for what? Is it their resources and stuff like that? So it just helped me become more aware of how the government is telling people this is why we're doing this, is either to help them, to help the country by invading them, or just to get their resources.
What do you think? Is it for resources? Is it to spread democracy?
In my opinion, I think it's for resources. Like, oil is a resource that a lot of nations need and stuff like that. So I think it's all for resources. I don't believe it. You don't have to go invade another country, and that's not helping them. That's not helping get the country up or setting them free or anything. That's not the way I see it. I see it as taking their resources so they have to basically displacement and stuff like that in their own country.
So it must make you feel uncomfortable that your country now is doing that.
Yes, it does. Because I live in a country that's doing this, all these things, and the government is like saying, yeah, we're helping this country get together and stuff like that, but it's not the way I see it.
Mm-hmm. Phyllis?
Regarding my opinion of what the U.S. is doing in the war, and I guess I'm still trying to figure that out. I guess I'm kind of confused sometimes about like the motives that the U.S. has and the so-called the war on terrorism. I think I'm still trying to like find out what I believe about the military and the U.S. But I think one thing that stood out to me was just learning about how much money the U.S. spends on the war and how it like outweighs like, is it like almost everything else that
school, education, else? Healthcare, is that what you mean?
So that just made me think like what you know, what could happen if the U.S. Spent more money on, like, education and, you know, health, and all these youth who want to join the military because they don't have money for education. What if, like, the money was redirected to education? Then they won't have to join the military. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's just something that, to consider.
It must make you wonder if, in fact, the money is not available for education because it's more important to the country, or the certainly this administration, perhaps, to have a powerful military than a powerfully educated population.
Yeah, and I think they're doing, like, the wrong thing. They're doing it's the worst mistake you could make in a country's life or in a country's, you know. If you want your country to succeed, you want educated people, not dead people, you know? Because if you're just spending money on weapons and stuff like that, you're just going to leave next generations poor and broke. I don't know, I just have a feeling that this country is going to fall because of that. You know, it's going to fail because of that.
Mm. Must make you sad.
Yeah, it makes me sad, because I'm just thinking about the babies that are just born in this year who, like, are experiencing this crisis that we're going through, you know?
And they don't even know what they're in for.
Yeah, they don't even know what they're, yeah. And also all these people who, like, don't even know and don't even have an idea of what's going on. Like, most of the people who live in this country don't even know what's going on. They don't know about the money cuts in school. They don't know about the more than 50% invested in the military of our taxes. Mm-hmm. Like, we're only paying taxes for a war. Like, we're working for a war. It doesn't make sense to me.
It makes me think, what is really the priorities of the United States? Mm-hmm. Like, is it for you to inspire youth to attain a capitalistic dream, like to be the highest achiever you can be and all these sort of things? Or having the military be the highest alternative you can actually get? Because I thought, you know, it used to be just high school students just being recruited. And throughout the story, I got to find out, like, there were college students also being recruited. I mean, like, there are people actually going to college to attain something purposeful or meaningful in their lives. And to having someone to be recruited from that, it makes me think that the country is, like, redefining everything and reshifting all their goals and reshifting their priorities. Like, this is what you're supposed to do, be patriotic for your country and forget the capitalistic dream of, like, being the highest achiever for now. Like, you have to fight, keep on fighting and fighting, mm-hmm. you know, over and over.
I want to remind our listeners that this is Raising Sand Radio, and today we are talking with Phyllis and Derek and Luis and Arwa and Susan from Bay Peace, which is Better Alternatives for Youth. Bay Peace supports and empowers young people to resist aggressive military recruiting and war. You can learn more about that at www.baypeace.org. And we've talked a little bit about the effects of a war on the troops themselves. And at Raising Sand Radio, we've done a number of programs on this. But I want to invite our listeners to go back and look at our website, www.raisingsandradio.org, and listen, download some of our other shows on war. We have Mothers on War, Soldiers Themselves. We have some of the hearings from the Winter Soldier that was in Maryland earlier this year in the spring. Very, very impressive and very important hearings. The troops themselves talked about why they no longer want to fight this war. And today it's my great pleasure again to talk with high school and college students who went on the first ever boot camp tour from San Francisco all the way down to Camp Pendleton, stopped on the way, and they went in a Green Tortoise bus, which is a sleepover bus. And I think for many of them, this was the first time they had possibly been together in a group like that.
Yeah.
And they felt strongly enough about Bay Peace and helping other young people like themselves understand the reality of recruiting. The other piece of Bay Peace's work is actually truth in recruiting.
But, like, what I've seen throughout the trip, we had, like, time together to to like analyze stuff and like break down some things that we see on recruitment specifically. And what I understand was that like this country is very like kind of racist in a way, because they're like, you know, they don't want Mexicans here. They don't want, you know, they don't want like people immigrating and stuff. But what I saw was that like for recruitment, they have all this type of advertisement with like all these languages, you know, in Spanish.
Oh.
They like the sign, I am the army. They have it like in 7 different languages, and they're like kind of recruiting. You know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say? Like they recruiting the people who they don't want them to be in the country. Like they don't want us to be in the country, but they want us to be in the military.
Interesting.
It's kind of like a contradiction to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Arwa had something to add.
I do actually. Off what Louis said, it was very interesting to see how the military tries to make you fit in. So it could be in Spanish. They're like, "Oh, I am the army, and look, I can fit in with other people." But one thing that kept struck in my mind for like during the trip was when we went to Treasure Island to talk to veterans, and it was a veteran that said the first thing that you learn when you get to boot camp, is that your recruiter lied to you. Well, at the moment, it was funny because I'm like, wow, it's true. But now that I think of it, it's like, yeah, well, they lied to you, but they did such a good job because they said, like, well, what do you want to be? What do you want to do? And they put that in the military, like, ways to say, well, you can get that training. You know, the military can help you train for what you want to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting that.
So I want to add that, in fact, oftentimes recruiters, as you say, will lie to you, but they'll mm-hmm. say things like, sure, you want to be a helicopter pilot? No problem. Sure,
yeah.
You want to be a medic? And then you do mm-hmm. some tests, and it turns out, after all, gee, your scores aren't quite high enough mm-hmm. to do those things that you really want to do. But I tell you what, why don't you be in the infantry? Because we need you there, too.
Yeah.
Of course, the infantry are the people on the front line. So you're talking about these kinds of little untruths.
Yeah, but it would just... that's actually what I'm talking about. But I just want to say, like, before that, about the subject about money and how it affects us. And California itself, it's going through a budget cuts, and it's cutting programs and classes and teachers that we need and resources that, well, I need. I know I need resources to succeed through, to graduate from high school. And the fact that we have this budget cut, it's holding us back from a lot of things. And I'm thinking, like, if we have all that money that's spent on war, we can, every person, like, we wouldn't, our dropout rates, it would be really low. Like, we would, I don't think we would have it as high as we do now. And we would have all these resources, and we wouldn't think about the military as our only option.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Who would like to add?
Another thing that I would like to add, like she said, because they're spending so much money in the military that they only have, it's only $4 billion that they're spending in only in recruitment. Like that kind of like
all that money.
Yeah, all that money. Where's it going? You know, it's going on recruitment, only on those advertisements and stuff like that. They could give that in financial aid. You know,
mm-hmm.
The whole city would go to school with that money. You know.
When you came back, did you talk with your families about what you'd learned and what was their reaction? Derek?
One of the most shocking things I've learned, like how people sign things without reading, that was most shocking to me. Like when we were on Camp Pendleton, they gave us an opportunity to go out into the base and explore the ammunition and see all the bobcats and all the things. And they gave us a sort of contract to sign on it, to saying that we put ourselves at risk when we go out there, and they wouldn't be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us who were on the trip, excluding myself, were minors.
And me.
You know, they were minors, and they were telling them, oh, just sign it, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are contracts that, you know, they were giving us after our signing to go on this trip by the parents and everything, that they were didn't know that we were going to sign these things.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them were minors, and you encourage them to sign it, you know, like convincing, oh, no, it's okay, it's all safe. But just in case anything happened, you know, we're not accountable for this. I was like, wow. I was like, what the hell is going on? Sorry. I was like, you know, what is going on? So I had to, like, interject afterwards, you know, being the staff intern there. I was like, yo, please read before you sign, because, you know, a lot of our parents will be very sad, you know, like, if we go out there and put ourselves, our lives in jeopardy by just signing away our lives like that, you know? And a lot of them, by the time I spoke, it was too late. A lot of them signed it, you know, but we had to hold back and say, you know what? You know, this was, like, after a lot of parents know about, like, doing these things, like, to sign to go.
But your dad had been in the military.
He was in the Army.
Yeah, in the Army. Yeah. And so you talked with him about what you'd learned? Did you ask him questions, or is he open to talking about it with you?
I didn't tell him much of my trip, because we're in two different ways. Like, you know, I'm becoming more of an activist, and, you know, I'm believing in all that I work for. And, you know, I didn't tell him too much because, you know, I try to put a lot of my past behind, you know, and it's something that I have to be conscious of. Like, when I was on this trip, I was like, wow, my father was in the military, you know, and, you know, it impacted me. But I had to learn to forgive him, because, you know, it wasn't his fault. You know, he felt the same way, like that was his only opportunity of helping his mother at the time. And everything just made sense. I'm like, you know, I had to forgive my father for all that he did. And I didn't bring up again, you know.
So in some ways, though, it's made you closer to him, because you understand more about how he was. You said earlier that he was strict with you.
Yes. It made me more understanding and strong to resist in joining the military and take my education very seriously, because I'm in college, you know, and I'm trying to resist as much as I can.
Yeah. Oh, well, what about your family? You've got a brother in the Navy.
My brother came the week after the trip, so I didn't really talk to my parents as much about it, but I talked to a lot of my friends and other interns in School of Unity and Liberation, which I'm a part of. And when I talked to my brother, it was very interesting to see what he had to say. Like, he just listened for the most part and was like, yeah, it's true, and stuff like that. But then I'm like, so would you ever, like, what would you do? Like, would you change the past? And he didn't really answer it, really, to be honest with you. Like, he didn't have no options. He just said he'd have no options, and that military recruiters were, like, I remember military recruiters were in our house every day, like, almost every day. Trying, you know, encouraging him, like, yeah, sign up right now. And he's 18. You can sign your life away, basically. And it was.
He's younger or older than you?
He's definitely older than me. Yeah, he's 23 right now. So,
did they try and recruit you while they were there?
No. Okay. Of course not. It's just that he was kind of on the side where, it's a maybe. Maybe I'll join. And because of that, they were coming, like, every day. You know, trying to get him more and more, like, really hyped up about the military. And they tell him all about this money, this job training, and then you represent this amazing thing. Like, and he just, you know, he got bought into it. So talking to him about it was, I told him that I am really against the military. I support the troops, and I support him because he is my brother, and he supports me a lot in different ways. So I support him, but I don't support what he's doing and stuff like that.
Mm. So he's still in the Navy?
Yes, he is. But he's in Guam. They placed him in Guam and also in the Philippines.
So he has a couple of years more to go?
Yes. And I think he probably would sign another contract too, because it doesn't seem like he's interested in coming back to life, I guess, I would say.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to adjust again.
Yeah.
Phyllis, you want to talk about your family or friends when you told them what you had been doing with this tour?
I guess my background, I don't have that much experience with the military. Like, my family, I know my mom, like my grandfather on my mom's side was in the Air Force during, like, World War II, but not really, like, combat fighting. And yeah, so I'm not sure if I have that much to add. Mm.
One of the interviews I did with a man who works with a post-traumatic stress disorder said that it's difficult to figure out how to do it, but perhaps it's a useful thing to be able to do is to hate the war, not the warrior. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what you're saying, Paloma, yeah. That being able to filter through what it is that the military is responsible for and what it is that individual troops are responsible for. I always say, if the troops were not over in Iraq, Abu Ghraib wouldn't have been possible. We wouldn't have had any presence there. Mm-hmm. And once you put people into a situation that becomes overwhelmingly fear-driven, you're asking things of people that is really not fair to ask. What do you think? Hate the war, not the warrior.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely for that because, like a lot of, like we said before, a lot of the people who goes there is a lot of talented people who, like, could just bring out so much to the community. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people over here, too, who, like, are, like you said, warriors. Because we have a legacy of resistance. Most minorities have a legacy of resistance. Because we have gone through a lot. You know, we have gone through like a lot in the last 500 to 700 years. I think that's why they're focused on minorities to join the military, because they know we're strong, and they also know that we're in the low-income community, so it wouldn't matter for us to come back and be the same, you know, mm-hmm. be like come back as we left. So I support the troops a lot, because I have a friend in the military, and he's really like into it. He don't want to get out from there. He's thinking about signing up, mm-hmm. every contract they give him and stuff. But I mean, he's really resistant, you know. Like there, it takes courage to do something like that, and not everyone would do it. Like personally, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't join the military, and I really respect like all of the people who's out there.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot of courage, I think you're saying, that could be put to a much more constructive things in a country that was welcoming that.
Yeah, I really think that it would be a better way to, like, you know, to make this country better.
Yeah.
What
do you hope now? Are you going to continue working with Bay Peace? What are your next steps with Bay Peace?
Well, I'm an intern, and I'm supposed to be done here on August 16th, I believe so. But I really love Bay Peace. It makes me feel free, and I'm really comfortable with the group, and I really connected with the work they do. Like, it has me reading, like, at night, instead of doing my readings for my school. I hope they don't hear this, but I would read, like, articles about the military, like, reasons not to join the military. So it just got me really interested. And I love Bay Peace, and I love the people that I work with, and I would definitely recommend it for anybody out there, so.
And it is possible, Susan, for people, how can they, if they want to intern or volunteer, what do they need to do?
Well, the very first thing is just become a part of the Youth Action Team. We meet every week here in Oakland, and we're always open to new members who would like to get involved. So that's the very first step. People can go to our website, which is baypeace.org. They can also call us 510-809-7416. And there are lots of opportunities for internships. We have people from different schools and different programs who work with us, you know, in a sort of a job training situation, as well as activists who just come on their own and are part of the Youth Action Team.
510-809-7416 for
yes.
You potential interns out there.
Yes. And one thing we want to always appreciate the support that we get from the American Friends Service Committee, among other funders, and of course we depend upon individual contributions as well, so that is very welcome. But the American Friends Service Committee provides us a lot of support, and we're really hoping to continue strengthening that relationship. And the boot camp tour is something that we hope will continue in the years to come. You know, this was the very first one. I think everybody who was involved feels that it was a big success. Mm-hmm. And so we appreciate the American Friends Service Committee for playing a big role in that and potentially for making sure that it is not the last, but the first of many.
That's great. Yeah, I'm kind of interested in how you got onto the bases. You just said you were Bay Peace and you were Truth and Recruiting, and they allowed you on.
I wasn't involved in those phone calls, so I'm not sure exactly what the wording was. We weren't dishonest, but we might not have gone into extreme detail about our program.
Yeah.
Just requested a visit, and I think they do provide visits regularly to all sorts of groups, and they were very welcoming. We had a lot of frank discussions with them. I don't think anybody was holding back too much. You know, there was an open dialogue. Yeah, I think it was a very experience for people coming from either side.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I'd like to see this kind of replicated in other parts of the country also. I think it's really important. I mean, if you're going to do this, if you're going to join the military in the future, it's best to know as much about it before you go, because as Arwa has already pointed out, you don't always get the truth from the recruiters themselves.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and this is why you should join Bay Peace, because we'll definitely do it next year. We'll just, you know, help us, you know, money and everything. We'll go beyond the recruiter and tell you this is what you won't hear from the recruiter. So definitely, like, search Bay Peace and look us up.
Yes, I know.
So, Derek, you're back in college in the fall.
Yes, I am.
And has your summer made any difference to the course of your education? Are you changing any of your classes based on what you've learned?
Most definitely, I am. I had the privilege to take a semester off this spring, and I have been interning elsewhere. I had a gentrification tour in Detroit, and right after that, I joined the same program as ARWA, and I feel no regrets for experiencing what I have experienced. And I changed my major from biology to human services and international communication, because we need to form links and relate the struggles in different communities and the needs, you know, because it's similar all across the states. And I do intend to come back next year and work with Bay Peace, because I feel happy here and I feel passionate about the work I do.
Mm. Phyllis, would you like to end on?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, like, this tour just really opened my eyes to see, like, just that we have a lot of social injustice just even around us. Like, people who are poor, like, you know, they're just born into it, and sometimes it's hard for them to get out. So this fall, I'm taking a class at UC Berkeley called Global Poverty. So I'm really looking forward to that, and just learning about like what people go through in this world, and also ways to help. I think there's going to be a practical aspect to that class, so that's just something I'm really looking mm-hmm. forward to, and just being more aware just around me of what's going on and stuff.
Well, Phyllis and Derek and Luis and Arwa, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And to Susan for organizing and pulling this together. I think this is a very important program. And again, it's www.baypeace.org, and you listeners can find out as much as you need to there, as well as how to get involved or donate if you can't directly get involved. That's another way, of course, to contribute, and an important way to contribute.
Yeah. And we're in the process of putting a report together with photographs and more descriptions, so people are welcome to check the website for more information about the tour. It should be up very soon.
And there'll be a little movie clip, too?
Yeah, there is going to be like a movie clip. Yeah, the guy from Current TV, he went and recording and got some footage there.
So that will be available on the website also?
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. So I just encourage youth people to, like, join our program. And
so, yeah, I would encourage people to join programs, nonprofits mostly, and, you know, be exposed to the truth. And I would also like to give a shout out to all the boot camp tour people. I love you guys, and you guys gave me one of the best experiences. And I love BAPEAS, and I would love for you guys to check the website or call us, you know, 510-809-7416, or email us at BAPEAS@BAPEAS.org. So definitely email us, you know.
And keep in touch.
Yep.
Keep in touch.
And don't join the military. go to the next year's boot camp, so
you,
you can explore the truth behind it.
Thank you. That's our show for today. If you're interested in interning, volunteering, or donating to BAPEAS, go to the website at www.baypeace.org. BAPEAS also wants to recognize and thank their individual donors, as well as the American Friends Services Committee, Agape Foundation, the A.J. Muss Foundation, the Nonviolent Action Community of Cascadia, People's Life Fund, Resist, and Youth Grants for Youth Action. Thanks for listening to Raising Sand Radio on KZSU Stanford, FM 90.1. And as always, all views expressed on Raising Sand are those of our guests and not those of KZSU or Stanford University. You can contact Raising Sand directly at susan@raisingsandradio.org. You can also find and download other shows we've aired on similar topics. If you are a regular listener to Raising Sand Radio, you'll know that we've done a number of shows examining the war, the military, and its effects. And last week, we aired an interview with our special correspondent, Karen Button, who just returned from Syria and presents the latest information on the status of Iraqi refugees in Syria and Jordan. You're encouraged to download that show at the website www.raisingsandradio.org. We're also doing an ongoing series on the U.S. prison system. The first of the series was aired earlier this month and included voices of prisoners. We'll continue to bring you the voices of prisoners and learn firsthand how the system actually works from those living it. Thanks for listening, and join us again next Monday from 2 to 3 Pacific Time, or download the show at www.raisingsandradio.org. We started our show today with music from Bob Marley, Get Up, Stand Up, and Let's Go Out, with a classic piece by Edwin Starr, War, What Is It Good For? Yeah. Absolutely. Now, listen to me. Thousands of mothers die when their sons go out to fight and lose their lives. I said, war! Good God, y'all!
What is it good for?
Absolutely! Yes. Get that again!
War!
Lord.
What is it good for?
Absolutely!
Yes.
Listen to me!
War!
It ain't nothing but a heartbreak!
War! War can't give life, it can only take it away. Oh, war! Good God, y'all! What is it good for?
Absolutely!
Nothing.
Say it again!
War!
Oh, Lord!
What is it good for?
Absolutely!
Nothing.
Listen to me!